Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Dorney's Vinyl. This is episode 9 of season 6. So this pretty much puts us almost at a quarter of the way through the season already. 40 episodes. That's just incredible. This season's flying by so fast. If you are new to this podcast, I want to thank everyone for listening, if you're new. You picked a very random episode to listen into. I'm assuming you guys are fans of this artist. But if you're new, how this works, it's a weekly podcast, so every odd-numbered podcast is an album review. So 2 weeks ago, I did an album review on Billy Joel's Piano Man. And so after that, then the even-numbered podcasts are what I call EP, extra podcasts. Half of those are games, guest starring my wife. So a couple weeks ago, we did a game of what I called Synonymous Albums. Another game, Rock and Roll Trivia, and then I'll talk about next week's podcast, which is also a game, at the end. And the other half of those are little tidbits of information. So last week's little tidbit of information I did last minute, but I got to see the, I wouldn't call it a cover band, but celebrating Meatloaf, which is Meatloaf's backing band, the Neverland Express, with American Idol. I don't think he won, but I think he was like top three. Caleb Johnson, who kind of looks like Meatloaf, a young Meatloaf. But so that podcast was last week. This podcast today has a little bit of a connection to Meatloaf. But this was my wild card album. So essentially, there's 20 album podcasts throughout the season. There's two soundtracks. There's one double album. There's one few kind of new album. I don't even know what I call that. Old school album, but it's not really old school. And so that leaves 16 other albums. So 13 of those 16 albums are voted on my Instagram stories. By my Instagram followers of what 13 albums they want to hear. And then I pick 3 wild cards. So the wild card albums that I pick aren't necessarily like, I don't pick them for any specific reason. This one I did. So I'll just get into it. Ted Nugent's Free For All. So how this podcast will work, I will talk a little bit about the artist Ted Nugent, talk about the album Free For All, the personnel on the album, and then the song, some information about the song, some track listing stuff. I'll take a short little break, and then when I come back, I'll give you guys my song rankings, my song opinions, and my album score. So, let's get into it. So, Ted Nugent was born Theodore Anthony Nugent on December 13th, 1948 in Redford, Michigan. And he has been an active artist since 1963, so that puts him at 60 years. He was also a member of the Amboy Dukes and Damn Yankees. He is best known for his Gibson Birdland guitar, and he's released 16 studio albums and 20 singles. On the U.S. charts, he's had 6 top 40 albums. In the U.K. charts, 3 top 40 albums. And he's had 1 top 40 single in the U.S. He does not have a ton of accolades. However, I think he is a very well-known rock and roll artist. So, not a ton of accolades, but great nonetheless. So Free For All is the second studio album that was released by Nugent. So in 1965, Nugent formed the band The Amboy Dukes. And then in 1973, the band changed their name to Ted Nugent and The Amboy Dukes after Nugent signed a record deal with Discreet Records. In 1975, Nugent dropped The Amboy Dukes from his band name and signed a record deal with Epic Records. Nugent also reformed his backing band, keeping his original bassist Rob Grange from the Amboy Dukes and bringing in guitarist Derek St. Holmes and drummer Clifford Davies. Nugent would release his first solo, quote-unquote, solo studio album in 1975. He still had the backing band, but it was only under Ted Nugent. Following the release of the first album, and as recording started for a follow-up album, Derek St. Holmes left the band due to growing personal and creative conflicts with Nugent. St. Holmes has also said that he was unhappy with Tom Werman's production, which he said was watering down the band's sound. To replace St. Holmes' vocals, Meatloaf, here's the Meatloaf connection, who was still a year out from releasing his hit album Bat Out of Hell, was brought in. So this is Meatloaf kind of before he was really Meatloaf, but he was always Meatloaf. In name, in popularity, not always Meatloaf. He was paid $1,000, which included crafting his vocal arrangements and 2 days of recording sessions. Meatloaf has said that after he agreed to do the album, he was sent a lyric sheet with no idea of what each song was supposed to sound like, so he had the freedom to do the arrangements on his own. Free For All was released in September of 1976, and it peaked at number 24 in the US and number 33 in the UK. Reviews of the album were above average, I would say. Robert Christgau graded it a B-, which Robert Christgau of The Village Voice, he's the guy I go to for any album review, because his name is everywhere. But he graded it a B-, which is actually a pretty good score for him. Writing, quote, "Side one is well-wrought heavy metal, tensile and clever, reminiscent of Deke Leonard only clearer. Side two is the usual frantic melodrama," end quote. And Greg Prado of AllMusic rated it 3.5 out of 5 stars. Writing retrospectively, quote, "Such rockers as Writing on the Wall, Street Rats, and Hammer Down are classic Nuge stompers." And then he continues, "The title track is one of Ted's all-time best, featuring a downright vicious groove, as is the rocking tale about the 1967 Detroit riots, Dog Eat Dog. Despite St. Holmes' absence, Free For All solidified Ted's commercial success," end quote. And other reviews include Classic Rock giving it 4 out of 5 stars and Collector's Guide to Heavy Metal rating it 9 out of 10. And the album would also certify 2 times platinum in the US, with 2 million certified copies sold. So now the personnel for the album. So it is Ted Nugent on lead and rhythm guitar, lead vocals on track 1, percussion and bass guitar on track 2. Meatloaf does lead vocals on tracks 3, 5, 6, 8, and 9. Rob Grange is bass guitar and the bass phase effects. Cliff Davies does drums, percussion, and backing vocals on track 2. Derek St. Holmes does lead vocals on tracks 2, 4, and 7, and rhythm guitar on track 2. So even though he kind of left the band, he still had some... He worked on some of the... pretty much one song with a couple other songs prior to his leaving. Steve McRae is on keyboards and backing vocals, and Tom Werman is on the percussion. And the album was produced by Tom Werman, Cliff Davies, and Lou Futterman. So moving into the track listing now. So all of the songs were arranged by Nugent, Grange, St. Holmes, and Davies, but each of them also has a separate writer. The track one is Free For All. This was written by Ted Nugent. So about the meaning of the song, Nugent said, quote, "When you spend as much time on stage as I do, you're looking into the beady eyes that can cut me in two. Those lyrics just blurted out. The rhythm is like a Bo Diddley lick through a louder amp with more flail. Equal groove, but a little excess flailage. I sang what I felt on stage looking into those wonderful music lovers' eyeballs. Just as spontaneous and raw as a song can be, celebrating those people that share my music with me," end quote. And track 2 is Dog Eat Dog. This was also written by Nugent. It was released as the first and only single off the album, peaking at number 91 in the US. The Nugent was inspired by the 1967 Detroit riots, and he tried writing the song as looking at the riots from the perspective of a citizen, saying, quote, "It's necessary to keep authority in check to some extent, but not always. A lot of times riots are just stupidity in action. A lot of times I can't tell you whether they are righteous or stupid, and there are occasions of both," end quote. Track 3 is Writing on the Wall, which was written by Nugent. Track 4 is Turn It Up, which was also written by Nugent. Track 5 is Street Rats, again, written by Nugent. Track 6 is Together, which was written by Rob Grange and Cliff Davies. Track 7 is Light My Way, which was written by St. Holmes and Grange. Track 8 is Hammer Down, which was written by Nugent. And track 9 is I Love You So I Told You a Lie, which was written by Cliff Davies. So that concludes the informational section of today's podcast. I'm going to take a short little break. We're at halftime, a little halftime show for you. It's like a 4-second transition, I think. And then when I come back, I'll give you guys my song rankings, my song opinions, and my album score. Alrighty, back after that short little intermission. So I will go through now my song rankings, my song notes, my song opinions, and then my album score. So how this section really gets done is I pretty much put the record on my record player. I listen to it, I type in notes as the record playing, and then I rank my songs at the end. So at number 9, I have Turn It Up. So I like the slightly higher pitch guitar solo, and then the tempo pace of this song is going to be fun. They are running through these lyrics so fast on this song. I'm not a huge fan of the vocals on this song. I was really hoping that they weren't Meatloaf. I'm pretty sure they weren't. I'm pretty sure they were St. Holmes. They definitely don't sound like him, and you know, I can usually almost always pick out Meatloaf's vocals. This song kind of reminds me of the band Sweet, you know, the band that does Ballroom Blitz and Fox on the Run. Or at least, you know, they have very similar sounds, but Nugent definitely has a lot better guitar riffs. Like, his guitar riffs throughout this whole album were just incredible. My favorite lyrics for Turn It Up, oh my god, lock and load, the stage is like a wall of sound, what I need to help blow the walls down. At number 8. I had Light My Way. So when you have two songs that Meatloaf sings incredibly on prior to this song being played, this song sounds like it's lacking so much. Like, it's, I'm going to be gushing about Meatloaf throughout this entire section of this podcast. So I hope everybody else is fans of Meatloaf. And if you're not, you're going to become a fan of Meatloaf right now. Or otherwise, you're probably just going to turn this podcast off. The vocals aren't terrible, but they just don't compare favorably to Meatloaf on this song. Even the guitars on this one don't sound as fresh as the other instrumentals on this one. It's hard to fully explain what's going on, though. Like, it's almost like the pace of the vocals aren't necessarily matching the pace of the guitars, but you can't tell which one is actually off and which one's supposed to be on. I don't know. And the guitar riff in the middle of the song definitely saves this one, though, as this is a very simple song lyrically. At number 7, I have Street Rats. So Nugent definitely doesn't hold anything back with his guitar introductions. There's another instrument in there, like in the introduction, that I can't identify. And I don't know what it's called, but it's like the thing, it's almost like a maraca, but it's not a maraca. It looks like a maraca, and it's got a bunch of ridges on it, and then you use like a stick to just kind of, I wish I knew what that was called. I feel like I could hear Black Sabbath doing this song. This is another very solid vocal by Meatloaf. It would have been nice to hear like how this whole album would have sounded by him, but at the same time, then it would have kind of been a Meatloaf album. Meatloaf and Ted Nugent, that would have been, what a combination. I would have been for that. Ted Nugent and Meatloaf, maybe. Maybe that's how they would have titled it. Again, you know, they had dueling guitars on this song. They sound so good. And the wow factor riffs are all over the place in a good way. I like the drums at the end of the song, and they really, like, the drummer should get more looks. My favorite lyrics for this one, the look of desperation, sure to bite the dust, his constant nauseation, a real social cross, he's a street rat, nothing to offer. At number 6, we have Free For All, the title track. So I have a feeling, just based off of the first part of the title track, that this whole album we're going to get some really good guitar riffs. I think that I was right. But, yeah, that was the first comment that I had. I do like Ted Nugent's vocals. I wonder why, like, he got other people to do most of the other lead vocals. And the lyrics of the song aren't half bad either. This was prior to hearing it. I was like, there better be a wow factor guitar riff at the 2/3 part. Because I feel like it's been a while since I've kind of done a podcast or reviewed an album that had like guitars as good as this one and guitar riffs as good as this one. Like Billy Joel's Piano Man didn't. I mean, he had piano riffs. Rod Stewart, Footloose and Fancy Free did not really. Joan Jett, I Love Rock and Roll, she's got good guitars, but they weren't that long. And for Free For All, getting back to Free For All, it almost sounds like there's two different riffs going on at once in this song. My favorite lyrics for this one, never before have I turned on you, you look too good to me, your beady eyes nearly cut me in two, and I just can't let you be, well, it's a free-for-all. At number 5, I have Dog Eat Dog. So I liked the slow da-da-da, or was it do-do-do, da-da-da, riffs? I don't know. that this song opens with. I think Nugent's vocals are actually better than the vocals on this song. I think this was another song by St. Holmes. I think Nugent trumped St. Holmes, in my opinion. I'm pretty sure it's St. Holmes. Part of me was, I'm second guessing now if it's St. Holmes or St. John, but I'm pretty sure I would have noticed if it was St. John. St. Holmes. I'm going with St. Holmes. If I've been wrong this whole time, oh man, that's going to be rough, but I'm going with St. Holmes. I will say, looking at the lyrics, they look extremely simple, but there's something about this song that, like, it really just kind of expands them and strings them out. I could see, like, Blondie performing this song. Either that, or she has a song that sounds very similar to it, or that band does. Okay, so now the lyrics are starting to look really simple. The guitar riffs, however, are not. The different sounds on this one make the song so captivating. This solo has to be at least a minute, if not longer. I like how this song ends relatively the same from how it begins. And I was like, never mind. That was just another guitar riff after what I thought was the two-third riff. And my favorite lyrics for this one, sabotage on downtown street, police cars overturned, you can't do nothing to beat the heat, and if you don't, you'll get burned. At number four, I have I Love You So I Told You a Lie. I maybe heard this album like two or three times, but I can sing this song in my head. Meatloaf definitely deserves to have the last vocal on the album. This is the final song. I just wish this song sounded a little bit slower. The guitars on this entire album were incredible, but I think this album could have been even better if other instruments were given a chance to shine in the spotlight. This song has another really solid Nugent guitar riff, but imagine if there was like a short drum solo in there too. The last chorus gave Meatloaf a little deserved time to shine with some improvised vocals. And my favorite lyrics for this one, a family life and a loving wife just ain't my kind of scene. Well, when I'm alone and the nights are cold, I get to thinking I was kind of mean. We could have had a good thing, but I never wanted to try. At number three, I had Hammer Down. This song had another choppy guitar instrumental to start the song. I didn't really know how to explain choppy, but it was choppy. And then it just fires up with a really strong pace. Meatloaf sounds angry, and I liked the Meatloaf angry vocal. I really like how he sounds when he sings, like, the hammer down. I could sing this song kind of in my head a little bit, too. That's probably horrible singing. I apologize. I'm a horrible singer, I know. The lyrics on this song could be a little bit better, though. And the guitar solo sounds like it should be in, like, a completely different song while still sounding like it fits this one perfectly. I have absolutely no idea exactly what I mean by that, but I mean exactly what I said. And that probably made no sense, but it made a lot of sense. I'm just kind of being really weird at this point. My favorite lyrics for Hammer Down, beats in the street and I'm coming, deadheaded over the map, highway trains keep on running, sneaking right through the traps. At number two, I have Together. This is a very different change of pace from every other song on the album. And I'm very excited to hear like a bit of a slower song. Of course, you know, it has to be a Meatloaf vocal, obviously. I mean, I'm pretty sure my top four songs were all Meatloaf vocals, and there's only five Meatloaf vocal songs on the album. But it's in a good way. Like, he can add a different level of emotion that I think a lot of other vocalists can't, even with him not being Bat Out of Hell Meatloaf yet. And I'm obviously biased. I also think it's incredible how he was just originally given lyrics to a song and had to imagine how he thought that the vocals should sound, considering he also only had one previous studio album under his belt. I don't know if I would necessarily call these wow factor riffs, but they're able to combine the wow factor elements with captivating licks, as it's a song that definitely needs to be able to breathe. The guitar instrumental on this one is rather lengthy, but that's also in a good way. Some of the guitar riffs are repetitive. However, for this album, I feel like I haven't heard much repetition. all the end of the song is, pretty much, is Meatloaf singing together, like the word together, and Nugent playing guitar riffs, but it's such a captivating sound. And my favorite lyrics for this one, thinking back about the time we had along the ways, oh, summertime, you've gone to cloudy skies and rainy days. And then lastly, at number one, I have Writing on the Wall. I'm glad that there's electric guitar instrumentals for a period of time before the song actually starts. And I think that there's some songs that start a little bit too soon on previous albums. But I think the way that this album was given an instrumental at the beginning of almost every song before we get into vocals, I liked it. And I was like, there it is. I think this is the first song on the album that was Meatloaf vocals. So I was like, there it is, pre-Bat Meatloaf vocals. And personally, like, I think Meatloaf's vocals on this album, and this song especially, sound different than his vocals on Bat Out of Hell, but they match the tone of Nugent's guitar really well. I can just feel like we're going to get a really good solo, and I think we're about a minute and a half into this solo, and there's so many different sounds and so many different moving parts to it that I absolutely love it. This almost sounds like a live performance of a song with how long that it is. And I really like the dueling sounds as well as the bass guitar in the background. And then there's like a Meatloaf scream on the last verse, which is absolutely perfect. And I like the tempo increase after the last chorus and a completely different wow factor riff. My favorite lyrics for this one, blazing down the highway, I'd rather have it my way, gotta have more. Rules on the roadside, floor it like a landmine, keep you on your toes. And that is the end of the song rankings and song opinions. So I'll move into my album score now. So how I do my album score. To start, I give it a score out of 10 based off of my opinion on lyrics, vocals, and instrumentals. So those scores will get multiplied by 2 to the total score. So for lyrics, I gave this album a 7.5 out of 10, pointing to Free For All, Turn It Up, and I Love You So I Told You a Lie. Vocally, I gave this album an 8.5 out of 10. It would have been higher if it was all Meatloaf. However, some of the other vocalists brought it down a little bit. And obviously, the songs that I pulled out pointing to vocally were all Meatloaf, Writing on the Wall, Street Rats, Together, and Hammer Down. And then instrumentally, I gave this one a 9. Nugent's guitars were really, really good throughout this whole album. Dog Eat Dog, Light My Way, and Writing on the Wall were the ones that I pointed to for this one. So those are the 3 scores that'll get multiplied by 2 for the Dorney score. I then give I give it a score out of 10 based off of where it charted in the US and where it charted in the UK. So it was it peaked at number 24 in the US, so that earns it 4 points, and it peaked at number 33 in the UK, so that earns it 3 points. I also give it a score out of 10 based off of where its singles chart in the US. The only single that charted was at number 91, so that does not score any points. So that is a 0. And then lastly, I give it a score out of 10 based off of the cover. So I gave this one an 8.5 out of 10 for the cover. So total score, I gave this one a 65.5 out of 100. Well, it earned a 65.5 out of 100 when you take in the Dorney score, multiply by 2, and then all the other points. 65.5 out of 100 is not horrible for a wildcard album. I feel like I've had wildcard albums that have been less than that, because the wildcard albums are really albums that I enjoy but aren't necessarily... I try to pick ones that aren't necessarily commercially as popular as other albums because they won't get voted on, but it's still fun to do podcasts about them, especially this one because of it being pre-Bat Out of Hell Meatloaf vocals. I want to thank you guys so much for tuning into this week's episode. This was a fun one for me to do. All of these episodes are fun for me to do. Next week's episode will be a game guest starring my wife. We're going to do Album Millionaire. So it's essentially 10 questions, which I pretty much ask which of the following artists released the album with a title, and which of the following albums was released by, or which of the following artists released this, no, which of the following albums was released by this artist. I think that's how, yeah. It's 10 questions. There's lifelines, so it's fun. She doesn't know too much about albums and things like that, so it's fun to see what kind of answers she comes up with in lifelines and see how well she does. If you're not already, go follow me on Instagram at Dorney's Vinyl. I know this podcast is being released on October 30th, so we are just 2 months away from voting for season 7. That starts in the new year. And then if you're interested in expanding your record collection, I have 33s and 45s for sale on my eBay store, which is also Dorney's Vinyl. I believe that you can just search Dorney's Vinyl, look up sellers, and I got like 350-some listings, I think. And I'm always posting more. That's about all I got. I appreciate the listens. I'll talk to everyone next week.